boy, you better hush by your head. I didn't even throw out this side in the air.
Rediscuss the difference in not news. Also for Tuesday continues. Israel and Egypt will begin Mideast peace negotiations on October 12 in Washington, the center of world imperialism. A White House spokesperson for the United States will participate fully in the ministerial level of talks. So the U.S. President Sadat invited President Carter to come to Egypt for the final signing of the proposed Egyptian-Israeli peace sellout, we should call it rather than treaty. Addressing the Egyptian parliament on current Mideast developments, dictator Sadat of Egypt called on Jordan and other Arab countries directly involved in the conflict with Israel, who have stoutly protested the sellout at Camp David, to join in peace negotiations based on the Camp David sellout agreements. But he strongly denounced the Soviet Union, who has rejected the Middle East Accords. Secretary of State Cyrus Vance continued United States efforts to win Arab support for the Camp David sellout agreements. In talk with Saudi Arabia's foreign minister in New York, U.S. officials regard Saudi's support as a key element in the success of Mideast negotiations. At this point, Saudi Arabia also, though conservative, if not reactionary government, considers the Camp David summit between Egypt and aggressive expansionist Israel and U.S. imperialism as a sellout of the peoples of the Arab world. The Syrian president continues his efforts to consolidate ties between the Arab hardline countries and the Soviet bloc. After talks with the East German president, the modern Communist Republic of East Germany is expected to urge East Germany to increase military assistance to the Arabs. He's also expected to make a similar appeal to the Soviet Union when he arrives in Moscow later this month. Moscow, as we say in English. The Lebanese president announced today he is forming a new government in a bid to restore peace throughout the country. The president's remarks were broadcast over Beirut radio on the wake of the worst fighting in the past 3 years. He said he would unveil a new security plan in the next 10 days and appoint a cabinet of political leaders to replace the government technocrats now in office. The latest reports from Beirut indicate that the fighting between Christian fascist and Syrian troops has finally leveled off after clashes throughout the night in Beirut, once one of the most beautiful capitals of the world, surrounding suburbs and nearby mountain areas. No reliable casualty figures have yet been released, but Christian phalangist fascist spokespersons say as many as 3,000 have been killed and wounded in the clashes over the past 2 days. At the Vatican, 30 cardinals have called for a halt of the bombing of civilian areas in concern for the situation in Lebanon. In Washington, center of world imperialism, the State Department says it is noting the heightened fighting between Christians and Syrians and that the situation is under intense review. Voice of America, of course, attempts to make the burden of responsibility upon the Syrians, but it was Egypt who invaded Lebanon and still occupies southern Lebanon in its Zionist fascist territoriality. The U.S. State Department said that it has not reached a decision on whether to grant a visa to Rhodesian dictator minister, Prime Minister so-called, Ian Smith, to visit the United States. He said the matter is still under review and that the briefing will continue in the context of developments in South Africa. The foreign members of Rhodesia's biracial government, so-called by Rhodesia, which should be Zimbabwean Patriotic Front under Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist, and his nationalist ally, Joshua Nkoma. But the biracial government have been invited by a group of American senators to come to Washington this week to explain their policies. Prime Minister Smith and Executive Council members applied for visas. The other members of the Council hold British passports and have previously visited the USA. I am certain that the same sellout will take place that USA has shown in no other demonstrations of imperial fascism in their foreign policy. USA did lift the ban on economic aid and military aid to the fascist regime of Ian Smith, and I'm sure some way will be found for Ian Smith to be received in honors in Washington, the center of world imperialism. Rhodesia's biracial government closed down the Zimbabwean Times. Not to our surprise, the country's only black daily newspaper, which has been moderately critical of the government policy. The government said the newspaper was being shut down in the interest of safety and security. Of course, they would not dare let the black people know that they were being treated as slaves. Even Mahatma Gandhi said long ago, who often white people today in USA are quoting and mouthing about all the time. Mahatma Gandhi said, though he was a pacifist, he said, if it comes between a choice of slavery and violence, I would accept violence without a hesitant thought. And the time has come that slavery exists in Rhodesia and South Africa, and violence is the only way. Armed struggle, according to Marxist-Leninist views. The newspaper has a circulation of about 20,000 and is owned by a British-based oil corporation and has supported the Anglo-American plan to convene all-party talks with the Patriotic Front. Guerrilla leaders whose views were very moderate and often published. The Zimbabwean Times is the fourth black newspaper banned in Rhodesia in the last 11 years, but the first by the biracial government, so-called biracial. There are only three blacks in it, Muzorewa and two other religious Uncle Tom leaders. No black people, 97% of the black people of Rhodesia, are represented by the Zimbabwean, which is the rightful name of the country, Patriotic Front. Meanwhile, guerrillas attempted, the activist liberators attempted to sabotage the railway bridge along the main road linking Salisbury, the capital, with the South African fascist country and its border. The political situation in Southern Africa was a subject of the agenda today in Bonn, West Germany, which prides itself as being the successor to Hitler's Third Reich, between Sudan's president and the West German's foreign minister. The foreign minister's statement said that the two ministers agreed to the recent Camp David summit accords must be used as a basis for a broad Mideast settlement which could meet with the approval of all Arab states. The two men also have given support to the recent United Nations Security Council resolution to continue Western peace efforts for the southwestern peace efforts for the territory of Namibia. That, of course, which is being resisted by the Union of South Africa, fascist South Africa, upheld by U.S. tax dollars, which burns my stomach every time I think of it, $447 million alone paid out in the first 3 months of this year, and billions more that came from multinationals. South Africa has a military presence and is denying the right of Namibia to be independent and free. But Africa, all of Africa, is now black and proudly free, except the lower end. Rhodesia and Namibia trembles under the revolutionary might of the people's will. Soon South Africa will feel a thundering and resounding clarion call that 20 million blacks will not be oppressed by a bare 4 million white supremacists. Sudan's president arrived in Bonn yesterday for week-long talks. Full-scale rescue relief operations continued in flood-ravaged districts in Bengal. As overnight rains brought fresh flooding, some 200 people are reported to be missing from villages in the northern districts just last night alone, and another district just outside the state capital of Calcutta, India, reported that hundreds of people are feared to have been washed away, if not thousands, by the swelling floodwaters. The act of God. First good harvest that they'd had in many years. And along comes the monsoons and washes away their harvest, and tens of thousands of lives in India. New reports say about 1 million people in the hardest hit areas are still at some points waiting rescue on high points. Conditions are indeed reported to be grim.
CN1, 2 CN1.
Meanwhile, an Indian news agency says six persons have drowned, and several are missing in a boating accident. The news agency reported earlier Monday that 150 people died in the accident, and was later said that 72 were rescued. The boat owner overturned while carrying pilgrims to a religious festival. It seems that God does not protect his own while they're going to bow at his shrines of festivals and worship. Britain's English ruling Labour Party under the ministry of Prime Minister Callaghan had a major defeat on Monday by a better than 2-1 margin. The Labour Party's annual conference of black people rejected the government's policy. Mr. Callaghan is demanding pay increases to be held to 6% over the 5% over the coming year, rather. Callaghan has already warned he may resign if the Labour Party does not back his government's wage and economic policies. The country's labour policies for blacks and Indians, which are demanding a return to free collective bargaining. The large wage hikes were behind him in his vote. Mr. Callaghan is scheduled to address the Labour Party on Tuesday. If inflation is not kept under control, he will be forced to resign and conduct elections. Margaret Thatcher, who the polls say will be his successor, head of the Conservative Party, has promised that all Indians and blacks will not have any problems in England. They will all be removed, taken up and rounded up in concentration camps and repatriated to countries that some of them have not seen since their ancestors left it 200 years ago. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of mourners stood in a chill, driving rain Monday to give final respects to Pope John Paul, anti-communist. He died of a heart attack last Thursday night, just 24 days after he began his ministry. Over the weekend, hundreds of thousands of people filed by St. Peter's Basilica, where the body lay in state. Funeral services for Pope John Paul are scheduled for Wednesday. They'll be moved into the basilica if the rains continue. President Carter's mother, Mrs. Lillian Carter, will lead the American delegation this time. The last time it was Mrs. Carter who went 24 days ago, or 20-some days ago, or 30 days ago, when the Pope died just before. God's representative on earth, which the Catholic Church considered the vicar of Rome to be, the Pope, the papal seat, over 700 million, which has dropped to nearly 530 million due to the Church's ban on birth control. God's representative on earth does not seem to be faring very well, as he was 65 years of age and died in his sleep. Negotiations are expected to begin this week between Nicaraguan President Somoza, as Voice of America wants to choose to call him, and any other nation with any decency on earth would call him Dictator Somoza, and the opposition regarding resolutions to the countries. Bloody political crisis. Bloody murder. Three-fourths of the nation has been bombed into Bolivian. A three-nation team from the United States, the Dominican Republic, and Guatemala will handle mediation. All, of course, are indeed right-wing regimes under the imperialist control of the USA. They'll handle the mediation. The plans to meet in the next few days. President Carter is the chief negotiator, and the Dominican Republic has chosen a right-wing governmental aide to be making its representation, and Guatemala the same. USA is so hypocritical. Not one word is mentioned of human rights, while 20,000 are known to have been murdered by the regime, and tens of thousands more are missing. As a government with U.S. military aid, our hearts should ache that our tax dollars have supported such a fascist regime. Only through the aid of new planes and military hardware just received from USA, Somoza's dictatorship has been able to kill his own people and bomb them almost back into the Stone Ages. There have been repeated charges of similar executions and genocide by the Somoza National Guard all through the country. There is no way to estimate, said Voice of Netherlands, the amount of murder that has been done by the Somoza regime, which is vastly supported and totally upheld by Washington. Even the West Germans have been sharply critical of U.S. policies in Nicaragua. They are somewhat critical of the European money market today and the status of the U.S. dollar, whether it is stable enough to be maintained as a major currency. Cambodia, which should have been rightfully called Kampuchea, when the Khmeruj brought about a communist revolution, which was later taken over by the nationalist element. Now has murdered 2 million of the population,
okay,
one out of three.
We have to get to it here, maybe.
Cambodian
I have to check
people.
And see if they can come
human rights
down,
violations.
Right.
UN officials in Geneva released a telegram from Cambodia's
after
foreign minister interference.
I can check to see if they can come down there. Clean out
complained about. Again, silence is heard in Washington by President Carter, who is supposed to be the spokesperson for human rights and the dignity of man. But not one word has been heard about the mass murder in Cambodia.
It's been a
murder.
You have to cut all your hair off. You're facing your head, too.
Where is Mr. Human Rights now, Carter? At the top of the news this evening, Egypt will begin the next phase of the Middle East peace negotiations in Washington. I suppose October 12 would be the most important thing. The State Department says it has not reached a decision yet on whether to grant the visit to recent Rhodesians, Ian Smith. The newspaper publisher and managing editor of the last remaining black paper, which is just closed, is to appear in court tomorrow under Rhodesia's law. An order act under emergency power regulations.
Yes,
show cause why he should not be jailed for 10 years.
It
is charged that he allowed the Zimbabwean
position
cleared by the military censor of the 3% element that is ruled by the fascist Ian Smith, again, the white regime of Rhodesia, which could not be upheld if U.S. Congress had not lifted its ban assistance a few weeks ago. Of course, news had shown all along.
Okay, I'll talk to you when you come in.
The multinationals had been supporting, and even the CIA supporting, the white regime, the 3% against the 97% of Zimbabwe, that is under the control of the Zimbabwean Public National Liberation Front. It would have been an allegedly false statement about the leadership of Ian Smith, accusing him of being an oppressive dictator, which is the truth. He will face 10 years. The paper regularly carried the views of externally based nationalist leader Joshua Nkomo and Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist, until the clampdown on such coverage in mid-August. The English language in Zimbabwean Times was set up 18 months ago and has a circulation of, this report says, over 40,000. The Zimbabwean Times is the third black newspaper banned in Rhodesia, or the fourth, rather, in the past 11 years. The earlier bans were issued by the previous white minority fascist government. Moscow News. Leonid Brezhnev, General Secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party, the vanguard of liberation of the world, of the Soviet Union, and President of the Presidium of the USSR Supreme Soviet, has greeted the people of Guinea on the 20th anniversary of their republic, the international countries in support of the liberation movements in South Africa, and against apartheid, which means really what it sounds like, apartness, has ended in Bonn, West Germany. The Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko has returned to Moscow from New York, where he took part in the United Nations General Assembly and talks with American side on limiting strategic defense weapons. Leaders of the German Democratic Republic of Syria. Yes. The Democratic People's Republic of Syria have criticized the Camp David separate deal concluded by the sellout agreement of U.S. imperialist Zionist Israelis and fascist Egypt. Leonid Brezhnev has congratulated the people of Guinea on the 20th anniversary of the Guinean Republic. The day was observed today, all day. The message of support and guarantee and assurance of their liberation was transmitted by Radio Moscow. Political and economic independence and in progressive reform that it has made will be guaranteed to be maintained from all threats, both foreign and domestic, guaranteed the Soviet Union, the vanguard of world liberation. The message pointed out that the Soviet Union and Guinea championed the cause of world peace and liberation of Africa from colonialism and racism. Leonid Brezhnev, as I said, the General Secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union and President of the Presidium of the USSR, Supreme Soviet, said that he was confident that friendship and cooperation with two countries would continue forever. Prime Minister Kosygin, also of the Soviet Union, has sent his messages of congratulations on the occasion to the Prime Minister of Guinea. The International Conference in Support of South Africa Liberation Movements and Against Apartheid closed today. It was attended by delegations from over 60 countries, including the Soviet Union, which is the avant-garde. Various international organizations were also represented. Among them were the United Nations and UNESCO. The countries condemned NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the military adventurers, aggressive expansionist fascist, imperialist lackeys of U.S. imperialism, and of course USA too, for supporting the racist regime. They both were condemned. Speakers stressed that racism and apartheid jeopardize peace and international security. They welcomed the solidarity of the Soviet Union and all other socialist allies of the Warsaw Treaty with the African peoples fighting for national liberation. They voted unanimously that the Soviet Union and Cuba had proven to be the true friends of Africa and the Western imperialists led by USA, the enemies, in that the USA and her Western imperialists were on the wrong side of every question, and the Soviet Union and Cuba were on the right side of every issue. Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko returned to Moscow from New York today. He attended the General Assembly session and had talks on limiting strategic arms on Sunday, which were only useful. Andrei Gromyko had a meeting with the Secretary of State, Cyrus Vance, and on Saturday he met with Carter. The Gromyko-Carter meeting stated they had enough to complete the preparation of agreement on strategic arm limitation beginnings at least. Let us hope it's not too late before the hell of nuclear holocaust rains down upon North America. Though we are safe from it here, it gives us no satisfaction to think of Dr. Daniel Ellsberg as he addressed our congregation in San Francisco just yesterday, saying that USA will be a wasteland and a desert. Foreign Minister Gromyko of the Soviet Union, Vanguard of Liberation, and Carter also discussed reduction of armed forces and armaments in Central Europe and throughout the entire world. The President of Syria and the General Secretary of the German Socialist Republic, GDR, Communist, Modern East German Communist Party, has criticized a separate deal sellout between Israel and Egypt concluded at Camp David's sellout summit near Washington by Carter. At a reception in Berlin, where President of East Germany is on a visit, it stated that the Camp David agreements in the Middle East do represent problematically an issue for even West Germany. This was a West German delegation that said that, excuse me. They do not provide for the withdrawal of Israeli aggressive fascist troops, the Zionist troops that occupy the West Bank of Jordan, nor the Gaza Strip of Egypt, or the southern part of Lebanon that has been conquered by military force of aggression. And they ignore the rights of all Palestinian people. President of East Germany reaffirmed that the determination of the parties to the confrontation front must strengthen the relations with the Soviet Union and other members of the socialist community. The front was formed by peace-loving countries such as Syria, Libya, Algeria, Democratic Yemen, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and even Saudi Arabia, the German Democratic Republic, and the Syrian president was to visit the Soviet Union also. Great gains have been made for the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact Treaty, because of this aggressive act at Camp David. Serious fighting continues at Beirut this morning, this early hour of 8:30, between the phalangist Christian fascist, Christians mostly all over the world are fascists except in Ethiopia, and the security forces. Tanks, artillery, and missiles are involved in the melee. Casualties are reported all throughout the country. The leaders are holding emergency meetings because there's great fear that any moment the Near East could break out into the spark that would lead to World War III, which would mean the end of U.S. society. Over 200 million of our beloved people there would die in less than 13 minutes. Started hostilities all over the country. Again, they are opposed to the presence of the Arab security forces in Lebanon, says the Christian security forces, rather, in Lebanon. By decision of the Arab League to normalize the situation in Lebanon, they want to bring in more reactionary elements to balance Syria and the Christian fascist militia that's upheld by Zionist Israel, which is just a false front. This is being resented and rejected by all freedom and peace-loving people. Vietnam has reaffirmed its alliance and its willingness to begin negotiations, its alliance with the USSR, and its willingness to begin negotiations with Cambodia on new relations. The foreign minister's statement says the republic's proposals made last February remain in force. They provide for holding a meeting and for sending without delay in the border area. Both are to withdraw their troops kilometers, so many kilometers from the border, about 80 kilometers. The foreign minister's statement accuses the regime of acting in the interest of the policies pursued by the reactionary regime, the nationalists that are now in full in power in what should rightfully be called Kampuchea, as formerly known as Cambodia. President Carlos Perez of Venezuela has accused the Somozan fascist regime of pursuing a policy of genocide in Nicaragua and has condemned USA for its assistance. Interesting enough that the president of Venezuela will be visiting our own beloved Republic of Guyana under the leadership of the Vanguard, PNC, and our Prime Minister Burnham very shortly. He has not yet stated, nor has the Parliament stated, what their decision may have been in reference to this disputed territory on the border. Interviewed by Newsweek magazine, President Perez of Venezuela said his proposal that the United Nations enter in to the situation of Nicaragua and utterly destroy the Somoza regime. He accused the U.S. of supporting dictator Somoza fully. Somozan soldiers have killed more than 20,000 leading citizens, and hundreds of thousands of people have left Nicaragua, said the president of Venezuela. This is a move, a striking move to the left, as President Venezuela, just 10 miles east of us, President Perez spoke sharply critical of U.S. policies in support of the dictatorship of Nicaragua and Somoza that was put in power by USA Marines when they invaded against the will of the people of Nicaragua some 44 years ago in 1933, 45 years now. An annual conference of the British Labour Party has opened. They have drafted resolutions submitted to the countries, criticized the government's economic and social policies. They are against unemployment, inflation, and the growing cost of living. There are more than 3.5 million people jobless in England. Representatives of the various labor organizations intend to stand up against the government's policies for restraint and wage increases because the cost of living is growing much faster. The resolution urge a reduction of Britain's cost of living. The Labour Party Prime Minister says he may have to resign. The polls show that Margaret Thatcher, racist, who will remove all blacks, Indians, Asians from England, will be his successor.
Go ahead.
Chairman of the...
Go ahead, Jim.
The chairman of the Communist Party, USSR, and Prime Minister of Ethiopia has spoken highly of the relations and friendship and cooperation between Ethiopia and the Soviet Union.